Well, it seems like everyone is traveling these days. I'm Jill Nadeau, glad to have you along for our journey on the Ideas Network today. Back with us is Carrie Mulliken. She is president of Bon Voyage World Travel Experts with offices in Waterford and Union Grove. And we're going to talk to her about all kinds of travel today. And we'd like you to be part of the conversation. So give us a call, 800-642-1234, or you can send an email, and that goes to ideas@wpr.org. Hi, Carrie.
Good morning, Jill.
So good to talk to you and for you to take some time out of your very busy schedule to be with us. What's with all this travel these days? What's this revenge travel thing all about?
Yes, revenge travel. It is a thing. And, you know, when the rights of travelers for a couple of years was taken away, now the world is mostly open and people are wanting to go. So we are incredibly busy, and so are the airlines and the hotels and certain places around the world.
So what are some of the more popular revenge travel destinations?
Europe is definitely key. Lots of travel to Europe for the summer. And Alaska is another one that was incredibly busy this year. So lots of great destinations to explore. Some maybe that are a little more off the beaten track make sense to go to because they're not as busy. So those are some thoughts to consider as well.
Now, has that changed much as far as location since this whole, the world basically opened up to travel again? Is that where people have been going?
Europe is definitely, like I said, very popular. Alaska, but, you know, we like to, when we meet with clients, we like to talk to them about some destinations that maybe aren't as busy or crowded as some of the more popular ones that maybe people had vouchers from unused trips that they're wanting to then reschedule for future.
So what are some of those destinations?
Well, I would say, you know, New Zealand, Australia, South Pacific, South Korea, Canada is another popular one that, you know, we're seeing more business go to. Saudi Arabia is back on the radar, different parts of Mexico. So there's quite a few, you know, that are not as well known, maybe not as crowded as revenge travel surfaces.
Now, do you see a slowdown coming at any time soon?
Well, there's always conversation about an election around the corner that may be impacted. But I do think that right now we're seeing very, very strong travel for 24 into 25.
Okay. When people come to you for help, do they generally just want to go out on their own, or are they looking for maybe some guides or, you know, people to help them along their way? What are they looking for?
It's definitely a mix, and it really depends on the level of travel that they've previously done or where they've been to, or if they're going back to a destination they've been to before, or if they're going to a new destination. But we do a lot of, you know, guided trips, both in small group situations, larger groups where you might have, you know, 40 other travelers with you, and also private where it just might be the, you know, the two of you or your family and a guide.
And how do you know what guides to find for these people? Do you have connections with certain groups, or how does that work?
We do. We have partners around the world that we trust and are vetted partners, so we know that they're going to provide clients with a great experience.
So how has revenge travel really affected your industry?
People really were hesitant that, you know, there was so much that you needed to know if you were to travel kind of post-COVID. And so I really think that our industry, the travel industry, is really something that people look to today that maybe thought previous to COVID to do on their own. So my colleagues and I are incredibly busy with, you know, clients that maybe haven't used our services before that are just looking to make sure that logistically their trip is planned perfectly, and that if something were to come up again or resurface like a few years ago, that, you know, there's someone there as their advocate to help them through it.
Mm-hmm. So how far out should we be booking and making travel arrangements these days?
Definitely now is the time for sure to be planning your 2024. And if you're interested in, you know, some cruises, Europe, Alaska, some of those more popular markets, you can even look into 2025 at this point.
Wow, that's amazing. I mean, I've always heard, like, for maybe booking, you know, like airplanes a couple months out, but that's not going to work these days, is it?
Airplanes are full. Generally, you're able to book reservations, depending on the airline and the destination, about 11 months before your departure.
11 months. Wow. That's really good information to know, because I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that are hoping to do some traveling soon. And if you've got a question for Carrie, you can give us a call, 800-642-1234. Or if you prefer, you can email ideas@WPR.org. Lines are open, so you can go ahead and get through fairly quickly. So what is it in Alaska that people are craving?
Alaska is such a beautiful destination, and it's so popular in the summer months here in Wisconsin. So you're June, July, August, into early September. And, you know, many clients really enjoy just cruising along, maybe doing like a northbound or southbound cruise from Anchorage to Vancouver or Vancouver to Anchorage. And then if they've got some extra time, they might want to go inland and visit Denali Banks and those sorts of things. It's a bit of yesteryear, you know. It brings back the wholesome spirit of travel.
Sure. Now, what kind of weather can you expect when you're going to Alaska this time of year?
If you're more inland around, mid-June is my favorite time to go, the summer solstice. And inland like that, you're probably in the mid-70s. A little chillier as you're closer to the glaciers, of course, but, certainly really nice weather for summer months.
Perfect. And you get a lot more light, too, don't you?
Absolutely. Those skies are beautiful at 2 in the morning.
I'll bet. So you had mentioned that Europe is also a popular destination. But starting in 2024, there's going to be some new requirements, aren't there?
That is correct. Yes, we're going to have electronic visas that'll be required. And, don't be intimidated by those. There's countries like Turkey now where you have to do an electronic visa. It's something you typically would do online. And they're just asking for some general information. And then generally that visa is approved within minutes, but can take up to 30 days. So you want to make sure that you plan. I don't know the launch date for 2024 yet, but it looks like it will be live in 2024. And it affects primarily the European countries.
So pretty much all of the European countries, or how do we know?
Well, it'll be interesting to see if other countries choose to add, but primarily the European Union.
Okay.
And so countries like Austria and Germany and France and Hungary and Iceland and Norway, and, there's quite a few others as well.
So you're talking EU. What about United Kingdom?
At this point in time, I don't see that there is a visa required for England.
Okay. And what kind of questions do they ask you on these electronic visas?
So such as obvious name, date of birth, sex, nationality, passport information, the level of education, maybe your occupation, criminal past, of course, is going to be one of those questions. So fairly general.
Okay. And did they say why they're requiring these?
I don't necessarily have the answer on that, other than I think it's just, maybe they want to know who's going into their country. That would
Sure.
be my simple explanation.
Okay. What do you actually have to do to get this now? You said you go online. Is there a certain place where you have to go? Is it even open yet? Can you do it?
To my knowledge, it's not open yet.
Okay.
We are not issuing them for 2024 yet, as of yet.
Mm-hmm.
We do expect the cost to be relatively low, probably around the 7 euro mark. So again, nothing to be intimidated about, just something that logistically you need to make sure, if you're planning on your own, that you've looked into it.
Okay. And then some of the other things, like for getting through security in most airports, that seems to be fluctuating. What do we need to do right now? Is the license, driver's license, still okay? Or do we need a passport? What's going on in that area?
Sure. You definitely want to make sure that you have the real ID with the star on it. If you don't, definitely get into the DMV to get that updated. And in terms of getting through the airports quickly, my recommendation, if you do travel internationally quite a bit, maybe 3 times or more a year, you definitely want to look into Global Entry and consider applying for that. You can do that online. Some of the appointments you can take right at the airports. And then there's some other options if you don't travel internationally, such as TSA PreCheck or Clear, that you would want to look into, that are great options to help you expedite through those airports.
And what is the difference between Clear and PreCheck? Because I have PreCheck, and when I was in Florida, I think it was, they were looking for Clear, and I was confused. So what's the difference?
Sure. Generally with Clear, you're going to look into kind of a screen, and it's taking, in the application process, you go through your biometrics, and so maybe your eyes, and so then when you're going to the airport, there's a representative there. You're going to look into this machine. It's going to validate who you are, and they're going to hand walk you through security. So it's even faster if the line isn't long than TSA PreCheck.
Wow, that's amazing. So if I have PreCheck and I paid for that, do I have to have an additional fee for Clear?
Clear would be an entirely different program. So, yes, you would need that. And I've tested it, you know, where I'm traveling with a companion and maybe I'll say, okay, you go through PreCheck and I'm going to go through Clear and we'll see which one goes through faster. And it really just depends on the time of day and the airport in which you're in.
Yeah, that makes sense. I can't remember which airport I was. I think it was JFK recently, but I went through PreCheck because so I avoided the long line. And then once you got through that, you just were basically joined in with the other travelers, so it didn't make any difference other than waiting in that line. So I thought that was kind of interesting. But every airport's a little different, isn't it?
It is, and it does often depend on if there were flight delays and also the times in which they have staffing. You know, just like every other industry, everyone is still trying to ramp up some staffing post-COVID, so that absolutely plays a factor, even in the airports.
Oh, sure. The airports are such a fun place to be, too. All right. Well, we are talking with Carrie Mulliken. She is president of Bon Voyage World Travel Experts with offices in Waterford and Union Grove. What questions do you have about traveling? We're here to answer. Join in by calling 800-642-1234, or you can send an email, and that's ideas@wpr.org. You're listening to The Larry Mueller Show. I'm Jill Nadeau. Claire Neipert is our on-air producer today, and Tyler Ditter is our technical director. Stay with us at 11:45. We're going to be talking about a Civil War band that's still entertaining. But right now, let's go to the phone. We have Tom in Managua with a question. Hi, Tom.
Good morning. I'm going to be traveling to Greece in a couple of weeks, and I'm wondering, how can I go about getting euros before I go?
Oh, great question, Tom.
So, hi, Tom. Often your local bank will be able to order those in for you. Otherwise, if you live near a big city such as maybe Milwaukee, I know some of the banks actually have those on hand, the main banks. But like I said, they can be ordered in through your branch. So generally they take, 5 to 7 days, depending on the bank. So I would just suggest checking with them. If you can't do it there, you can also usually exchange them at the airport or bring your debit card to Europe and use an ATM.
Okay, great. Thanks, Tom. Have a wonderful time. Colleen in Cumberland emailed us. They're booking their trip to Ireland through a travel agent who, of course, has their passport info. Is it still recommended that they take a copy of their passport in case it's lost?
Absolutely. Hi, Colleen. I would definitely take a copy, leave a copy at home with someone in case of an emergency, but then also bring a copy with you that you store in a little bit different location than where your passport is stored.
That's great advice. Patrick emailed us too, and he is wanting to know what the new deadline is for updating driver's license requirements, so that that new driver's license, they keep moving that, don't they? They keep moving the deadline.
They certainly do, Patrick. And actually, I don't know it off the top of my head at the moment. I would suggest just probably looking online to get that information because, like I said, it has moved over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm, it has. But it is nice. I mean, I've got the new one, too, and that works really well when you're not, going out of the country, of course. So although that does that work in any other countries for us, or do we always have to have a passport when we're going out of the U.S.?
The Real ID is specifically for the United States, and I did just look in it. The current compliance date is May 7th, 2025, but it has probably been pushed back for a 4-year period of time. So I would just continue to monitor that. And then, yes, you do need a passport if you're leaving the United States, either a passport card, or our recommendation is always the passport book, because a passport book is always accepted where a card is accepted in limited locations, such as maybe just a drive trip to Canada or something.
Ah, well, that makes sense. Now, you were just telling me, we chatted earlier this week, and you just told me that you just returned from Maui, where obviously there's been those devastating fires. Talk about how it affected traveling there.
So traveling was good. Maui is definitely open, for sure. Obviously, the west side of Maui is a bit more delayed than other parts of the island. I was in Wailea, completely unaffected by the fires. So that was a great thing. So go to Maui, definitely open, ready for you. And actually, the west side of Maui is scheduled to open the hotels and that sort of thing on the west side, with the exception of Lahaina, on October 8th. So my experience was absolutely fabulous. Just to give a little bit of reference on that, normally on a good day, Maui rents 20,000 car rentals. And when I was there, they were averaging about 3,000 car rentals. So you can imagine what it looks like to see 17,000 cars parked a day because tourists are afraid to go to Maui. So, you know, if you have any questions, feel free to reach out. I'd be glad to answer any questions if you've got a trip planned to Maui. But absolutely consider going. Maui needs you. It's a great island. And Hawaiian hospitality has been so kind to travelers visiting Hawaii. So please just continue to consider going.
Please do. It's a wonderful place to visit, and their economy is so dependent on traveling. So I can imagine how devastating that is in that area, too, which kind of brings up another type of travel, which is give back travel. Now, how did that relate to your trip to Maui?
So on our give back program, this particular trip for me was a business trip to go and really at the island and analyze whether we wanted to recommend it to clients, and then also, you know, give the approval that, yes, it's safe to go. You're going to have a wonderful travel experience. But part of that is we wanted to give back again to that Hawaiian hospitality that's been so kind to all of our travelers for so many years. So collectively, myself and United States travel agencies have gotten together, and there was about 400 of us in total. We worked hard for a day and raised over $400,000 for Maui, in addition to over 7,000 pounds of supplies, you know, children's food and hygiene items. And it was spectacular to be a part of that. And we're finding that so many travelers have such a rewarding experience if they add that component to wherever their destination is, even if it's just for a morning to give back to the community and be able to make a difference with the locals.
It's a wonderful idea. How can people find more out about these opportunities?
I would definitely check with the tourism boards, you know, online. And like with Hawaii, they do have a give back program. You know, we've had clients that have gone to Africa and did give back programs to, you know, build wells and help build schools. And again, it doesn't have to, you know, be something that consumes every day of your vacation. It really is something that you can make such a massive impact in just a morning or an afternoon. So definitely consider that.
And how can people make sure that these are legitimate organizations?
We do always suggest working with a trusted travel advisor. We don't know every part of the world. The world's a very, very large place. But what we're really, really good at is logistics and partnerships. In any successful trip, if you have a solid logistics plan and great partnerships, you're going to have a fabulous time. So definitely, with AI now, you have to really vet the information that you read online, because it's not always accurate, where when you work with an advisor, you have someone to come back to as your advocate.
Okay. We've got Christina in Glenwood on the line. Hi, Christina.
Hi there. Thank you. My 45-year-old son and I are best buddies who traveled together in the United States every year. He's always wanted to do a food tour with cooking classes in Puerto Rico. So what advice can you give about coordinating this type of trip and the best time to go?
Hi, Christina. So Puerto Rico, in terms of time of travel, I just know that hurricane season typically in the Caribbean is generally, you know, June through late October, the first week in November. So, you know, not to say that there's always going to be a hurricane and don't travel. We have many successful trips that we plan during that time frame, but just know that it would be a possibility. Make sure you've got some good travel insurance that would protect if something like that were to come up. And in terms of a food tour, again, you'll find some great resource on the Tourism Bureau's website, but we successively have planned some great trips that would have some cuisine options to them. Another great place that we often use, and it's reflected on our website, but you can go to them direct, would be Project Expedition. They offer some excellent tours that have some wonderful feedback. And when doing a food tour, my recommendation would just be, you know, maybe lean a little bit more towards a smaller group rather than a large group type setting.
Okay, thank you, Christina. Have fun. Jeff in La Crosse, you're up next.
Hello.
Hi, go ahead.
Hi, I'm wondering if there are any tips for traveling by train, you know, with Amtrak.
So train travel is always a little bit of an interesting topic, and I think that my biggest advice to you would be plan for some delays, and I don't mean that in a negative way, in the way that, you know, the freight trains have priority over the train lines. So, you know, if something were to happen or there's a delay or something, they're going to get priority on the line. So if you, say, for example, had an overnight train and maybe you planned to visit relatives and you wanted to stay with them for 2 solid days, I'd probably start that trip planning to be there for 3 solid days, just so if some time gets, you know, minimized, you've still got a wonderful trip with them.
Okay. Thank you, Jeff. Have fun on that train. Always wanted to do that, but I've never really done that. What are some of some tips other than those delays that you have for people who want to travel by train, Carrie?
They've got some excellent sleeper car options, but they very much differ. You know, a roomette might be more like a bunk bed type situation. So depending on the agility of the passengers traveling, sometimes people don't read kind of the fine print in terms of what each room category is. So I definitely would pay some attention to that.
Okay, great. So Jane emailed us, and she is looking for round-trip tickets that don't involve a 12 or 24-hour layover. Her trip's coming up in November. She's checked all the major airlines, Delta, American, United. Any tips for her or other airlines should she be checking?
And what was her destination? Did she
did not say, unfortunately.
Okay. That brings up a great topic and gives me an opportunity to talk about. You're going to see here in the coming months and years that you're going to see more different options in terms of airline booking options. So you really, really need to read the fine print. You know, for the last year or so, many travelers are familiar with a basic economy, but now there's even more different fare structures that the airlines are using as they come back from COVID. So, you know, it could be that your ticket's not refundable. It could be that your ticket isn't exchangeable. It could be that your ticket is exchangeable, but there's a fee. There's going to be more questions to ask. So don't always just purchase the least expensive. Be sure you understand the limitations of the least expensive. Depending on when she's traveling, you know, if the schedule is in the next 3 months, chances are the airlines aren't necessarily adding more air service. And unfortunately, some of your online vendors are very biased in the information that they might share. So they may not have contracts with all airlines, so you may not get access to all airlines, where, again, with a travel advisor, they would have access to all airlines within that market.
Mm-hmm. And have you noticed that there are a lot of flights these days? It's round trip, but there's a big layover in the middle of it.
There can be, especially if you're searching based on price. Generally, you have a filter when you're looking online, if that's where she's looking, that will allow you to minimize that time frame. As a travel advisor, we also work with some wholesale partners, which the general consumer doesn't necessarily have access to. So sometimes we're able to find better pricing on the flights than what you're going to be able to see when you're looking at each individual airline.
Okay. So how do people find a travel advisor?
FASTA.org is a great place to start. And you can look based on your zip code, and then it will display to you the travel advisors in your area.
And it's a little different than if people were thinking about the way they, travel, travel agents used to work. How does it work these days? How do you get paid for what you do?
Sure. So every travel agency is going to have their own policy, just like any other professional consulting service. However, in our particular case, we have service levels. So we are very transparent in what those are and work with the client to ensure that we're providing them the level of service that they're looking for. You know, some people you had asked earlier about, you know, do they want to have something where it's kind of escorted or do they want to go on their own? There's certain clients that might be very comfortable going, but they just want someone to make sure that they've dotted the I's and crossed the T's and are there as an advocate. But maybe they don't need a lot of hand-holding when they're on the trip. And then the difference to that would be someone who requires us to make, you know, reservations for tours and maybe events and that sort of thing, which maybe requires a little bit more hand-holding. Maybe they're not familiar with airport check-in and that sort of thing. And then we have a plan for them. So we're very transparent with that. I guess I would just keep in mind that, you know, if it receives a commission from the supplier, that is for the work and the relationship they have with that supplier. When you hire an advisor, they're then working for you. And so although it may cost a little bit more in the front end, that advisor might find you amazing values that you wouldn't otherwise be able to find on your own on the back end.
Right. And if anybody has done any traveling in the last year or two, you know how complicated it is just to book tickets online. You just never know. You've got to read all those fine print for sure. Jane emailed us back and she said that her destination is from Milwaukee to Belize City. So that's where she's trying to go in November.
Yeah, Belize is going to be a market that there's not a lot of air service. There's not a lot of airlines that are going to Belize. So in terms of shorter connections, definitely we can offer some shorter connections for her. It may just be the filter in which she's searching.
Okay. All right. Well, good luck, Jane. It sounds like a wonderful trip. Hopefully you don't have to stay 24 hours in a different city. So speaking of kind of stranded at airports, I know that was going on a lot this summer and, you know, flights were postponed or they were canceled. Has that been getting better?
Absolutely. Yes. In the last, I would say, 3 to 4 weeks, I took 6 different flights. And with the exception of maybe, you know, a 10-minute delay, thankfully, all flights were on time. All baggage was where it was supposed to be. So although, you know, there's still some hiccups, we're seeing it improve drastically over where we were a year ago.
Well, that's good to know, because I know a lot of people have decided they don't want to fly for a while because of all of those problems, because it can just totally ruin your week or more than that. So are these cancellations that the airline's doing, are they legitimate for like weather reasons, or are the airlines just overscheduling flights?
That's always an interesting topic, and it just depends on sometimes the day and the time of day. One consideration I always still really, really encourage is that if you can go to a market that's nearby you, so as an example with the Belize trip, you know, there's obviously a connection out of Milwaukee, but maybe she can travel an hour, hour and a half, and maybe get a nonstop out of Chicago. So look at the airports that are, you know, maybe a little bit further out from your normal airport, but maybe you're still within driving range. And if you can fly nonstop, I still strongly encourage that.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, and it's a lot less stress, too, if you don't have to do that. What other tips do you have for avoiding possible flight problems?
So my philosophy is that my vacation, when I decide to just relax and just, you know, try to escape from the day-to-day, is that my vacation starts when I leave my house. So I really do pay some attention to, you know, what flight am I booking? Could I get an upgraded seat that wouldn't cost that much more, that would give me more leg room or allow me to take, a sleep if I'm traveling internationally and I'm going to be on a plane for 8 to 10 hours? Sometimes when that, you have the mindset that the trip starts when you leave your home, and you take precautions to kind of make that a little easier as you travel more comfortable, your overall experience is better. So do look into some of those things. Upgrades are not always as expensive as people think they are, and that certainly helps.
Yeah, I've taken advantage of that myself, and I've gotten like texts from the airline saying if you want for $50 more, you can get moved up to, you know, business class or what have you. And at the time, it's like, you know what? I'm going for 8 hours. I think that would make a lot of sense. So do most airlines do that these days?
They do. If there's availability, you know, at time of travel that wasn't sold prior to travel, often they'll offer that up at a discount. Generally, I would suggest also becoming a member of that airline if you're going to fly with them, their frequent flyer program. Perhaps you'll accumulate some status if you travel quite a bit over the course of a few years. That can be helpful. I also suggest always downloading the airline's app to your phone before you depart on a trip, because you'll get current updated notifications. And if something goes wrong when you're in the airport, you're not only relying on the staff at the airport to help you, but often those apps also have chat features with the airline, so that can sometimes expedite things.
So what about if you arrive at the airport and you get an update that says your flight has been canceled? What are your options at that point?
So if you've worked with a travel advisor, you certainly can reach out to them for maybe access to other airlines in that market. That might be an option for you. Otherwise, it's really important to either A, start chatting with that app feature that I mentioned, or immediately get in line. The faster you get in line, the front of that line, you know, the problem is always if you have a plane that's canceled that had 200 seats, but there's not 200 available seats on the next plane, you have to filter what is available over the course of the next couple of days. So, you know, sometimes those flights can be delayed then for you for a couple of days. So it's good to pay attention to that. And that's why those online notifications through the app are so helpful.
It keeps you, definitely keeps you aware of what's going on. What if you're not at the airport and you've been notified that your flight was canceled? At that point, do you need to either call your travel advisor, or do you need to just go online and try to find something?
So often the airlines, depending on the situation, will automatically protect you on what the computer feels is the next available best option for you. But often, once your flight has been altered, you can go into your reservation and you can make a modification to choose another departure that would be at no cost or no change fee.
Okay. Because normally if you change it, you do have to pay extra.
Yes. Some of those changes have still been delayed since COVID, but they're bringing them back for
okay.
sure.
Okay. All right. Well, you know what? Holiday travel is basically right around the corner now. Do we still have time to make some arrangements for that?
You do. And again, I think Hawaii would be an excellent option because we know we've got some inventory there in Maui specifically. But yes, there are, you know, places around the world that still have availability for the holidays. I certainly would move on that rather quickly, though.
Right. It is the middle of September, actually getting towards the end of September. Where does the time go? What about someone who doesn't really want to, you know, fly? What are some other options that are maybe a little bit closer to Wisconsin?
Sure, sure. There's some excellent motor coach operators in Wisconsin. We're very blessed with that, where you could maybe, you know, join an existing motor coach tour to maybe Branson or Dollywood, or I have one leaving here in October soon that they're going to New Mexico to see the Balloon Fest and things. So there's a lot of great opportunities where you can travel sometimes just for a day that it wouldn't require any overnight. A lot of community senior centers put together day trips, and that way you're not having to involve accommodations. Or we're fortunate to have companies like Lammers or Mayflower, and there's quite a few other wonderful operators where you can do some short 3, 5, 7-night type trips via motor coach.
Now, are you going to be paying more for that just because you've got a tour guide and they've taken care of all this? Or can you get some deals?
Well, generally speaking, those packages will include things like meals and access to events where you're not having to stand in line, in addition to the transportation. So instead of you driving and not necessarily being able to focus on the scenery, especially as we approach in Wisconsin and it's so beautiful, there's something said to leave the details and logistics to someone else.
Yes, there is. What about some of the cruises that I've seen in the Great Lakes? Are those doing well? Are we going to be seeing more of those?
I do think we're going to see more of those, absolutely. And yes, they're doing very well. Definitely something to look into. I never thought that I would be in Milwaukee and see, you know, a cruise line come in my industry pull into port, but they're here to stay.
Yeah, it's kind of strange to see that, isn't it? I'm used to seeing that like in Florida or what have you.
Right.
There's also been cruises up and down the Mississippi for quite a few years, too. Are those still pretty popular?
Absolutely. Yes, we just had some clients travel a couple of weeks ago, a small group on a river cruise, and they had an absolutely fabulous time. So really, really nice.
Okay, great. What about green travel? Have you been doing much of that?
We have, and I think as the public becomes more and more aware of that, we have clients that are asking about sustainability and some different things. And again, it kind of does go back a little bit to the Give Back program. And so tour operators have some departures that focus more on that than others. So it's definitely something to look into. And I think it's we all want to save the environment.
Oh, sure. That makes total sense. And what about those who are looking at, well, planes, you know, are not really great for the environment. What can they do to minimize their impact?
So there are opportunities when you're purchasing your airline ticket, depending on the market and the airline, where they may say, you know, it's carbon neutral, or you can, pay a fee for the airlines for a specific flight. So it's more airline to airline these days.
Okay, great. I didn't realize that that was an option. So is that something that will pop up when you're making arrangements, or is that something you have to kind of dig for?
Generally speaking, if an airline is really making that a priority or a focus, it's going to be very obvious on their website.
Okay, great. Well, that makes a lot of sense, too. So you've been traveling a lot. Do you have a favorite trip that you've been on in the last 6 months or so?
Just came back from the French Polynesian area. Absolutely loved it. Worked with a cruise line called Windstar, which is a small yachting experience, about 148 passengers on board. Excellent opportunity to another alternative, I guess, as we talked about, you know, river cruises, and we've talked about the big ships. This is a smaller, more intimate setting that can get you to some of the islands that, you know, not tourists aren't necessarily have previously gone to. So Bora Bora and Tahiti and Moorea and some of those wonderful areas that are very intimate, let's call it.
Oh, Carrie, sign me up. That just sounds like my dream trip. And one more time, why should we use a travel expert like you?
Really, you need someone to be your advocate. This industry changes so quickly, and even for us, sometimes it's hard to keep fresh on all of the changes that happen around this very, very big world. So you just want somebody as your advocate, and I always say you don't know what you don't know, so you need someone who does, like in any consulting situation.
For sure. Definitely worth it. Thank you so much again, Carrie, for being with us, and get back to making those travel plans.
Wonderful. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Bye-bye. We've been talking with Carrie Mulliken. She is president of Bon Voyage World Travel Experts. She's got offices in Waterford and Union Grove. But stay with us, because we're going to be talking about the music of the Civil War coming up. We'll be right back after this.